Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Wednesday, November 13th. Coming up in today's episode, Supreme Court tells Ajit Pawar's NCP to stand on its own legs in Pawar vs. Pawar case. Pakistan government blocked PCB from hosting matches for India outside the country. Supreme Court hits the brakes on bulldozer justice and US airstrikes on Iran-linked group in Syria. First up, the Ajit Pawar faction of NCP needs to stand up on its own legs, find their own identity, and not circulate visuals of Sharad Pawar to confuse voters, the Supreme Court said today while hearing the Pawar vs. Pawar case. The top court instructed the Ajit Pawar-led faction of Nationalist Congress Party to refrain from using photographs or videos of party founder Sharad Pawar for Maharashtra Assembly election promotions and campaigns. The NCP split last year after Ajit Pawar parted ways from his uncle and former undivided NCP chief to create his own faction. Ajit Pawar went on to join hands with Bharatiya Janata Party and Eknath Shinde's Shiv Sena, which was also born out of a rebellion, to run the ruling alliance of Mahayuti, which took power after the Shiv Sena rebellion. This year, for Maharashtra Assembly election 2024, the Mahayuti will be going against Mahavikas Aghadi, which comprises Congress, Uddhav Thackeray Shiv Sena and Sharad Chandra Pawar's NCP. While Election Commission had awarded real tag to Ajit Pawar's faction along with the original election symbol, they were told they needed a disclaimer to be present in all campaigns this year so voters don't get confused about which faction they were witnessing. In the court hearing today, a bench of Justices Suryakant and Ujjal Bhuiyan said, "Learn to stand on your own feet," as it heard the plea by Pawar Sr. to stop his nephew from using the symbol of a clock, which was the original NCP logo, to represent his party in this election. The court's jab came after senior advocate Abhishek Manu Singhvi said an old video of Sharad Pawar was being circulated allegedly by the Ajit Pawar camp and could be misunderstood as stating that the two Pawars are not really rivals and this would allow the nephew faction to get a few extra votes, especially in Pawar-friendly bastions. Dismissing objections by the Ajit Pawar camp, represented by senior advocate Balbir Singh, who said the video is not a part of the current campaign. Justice Suryakant said, and I quote, "Whether or not it is an old video, you have an ideological difference with Sharad Pawar and are fighting against him. Therefore, you should try to stand on your own legs," unquote. The court then directed Ajit Pawar's office to issue a circular to party leaders and workers to not use the old video in question or any other photograph or video of Sharad Pawar. Quote, "Find your own identity as a separate and distinct political party," unquote, Justice Khan said. Earlier in the hearing, Mr. Singhvi criticized the Ajit Pawar camp for piggybacking on Sharad Pawar's popularity, particularly for the 36 seats in which two NCP factions are direct rivals. Quote, "Voters will get confused. Ajit Pawar knows he has to piggyback on Sharad Pawar's goodwill. And as we get closer to the election, he is repeating egregiously and blatantly the same felony. The idea behind circulating that old video is to show a link that they are one, and when you vote for one Pawar, you vote for the other Pawar, as the Pawar family is one as a whole, that they are not divided, and that they are close to Sharad Pawar," Mr. Singhvi argued. He also pointed to a tweet on social media by a lawmaker to make his point and told the court, "The question is simple. Ajit Pawar are under an injunction to not run the campaign using the name of Sharad Pawar by this court. So why on earth does an MLC post Sharad Pawar's photo?" Unquote. Next, escalating the controversy around Champions Trophy host country, Pakistan government has allegedly told the country's cricket board PCB to not shift any Champions Trophy match outside the country, no matter what the situation. The background is India has refused to play in the country which ICC offered the hosting of this major international tournament to out of security concerns. While India agreed to play matches in a neutral location such as Dubai, some reports suggest PCB offered Indians can fly into Pakistan, play the games and return home after the match is finished. Neither country accepted the other's suggestion. As of now, all parties involved are at a stalemate. The PCB then sought assistance from the Pakistan government on this matter. A report in the Indian Express has now claimed that Pakistan government has refused to allow a single game to be taken outside the country. Quote, "We have been told by our government to not move any game out of Pakistan, and that will be our stand when the time comes. Right now, the ICC has just informed us about India's decision We have the hosting rights for the Champions Trophy, so there is no way we can move the game outside of Pakistan. A PCB official told the newspaper on condition of anonymity. Former Pakistan cricketer Basit Ali also confirmed the same during a video on his YouTube channel, saying the country's government has barred PCB from accepting the hybrid model. With Pakistan keen on hosting the entire event at home and India not willing to cross the border, the Champions Trophy's fate is hanging in the balance. Though Pakistan's stubbornness has been called out by some of its own people, former Pakistan spinner Danish Kanedia questioned the Pakistan Cricket Board by asking what will they achieve by going to the Court of Arbitration for Sport or CAS after India refused to travel for the next year's Champions Trophy. As per the media reports, PCB exploring an option of approaching the CAS on the matter as they remain adamant about hosting the full tournament in Pakistan. Meanwhile, ICC has cancelled a 100-day countdown event for the kickoff of the Champions Trophy. Additionally, reports suggest ICC tried to convince Pakistan into accepting a hybrid model with additional perks and warned the failure to do so will result in South Africa bagging the honour as well as the many earnings of being a host country for such a huge tournament. Officials who carry out unauthorised bulldozer demolitions shall pay the victim with their own salary, the Supreme Court said today. Reading out the judgment on the practice of bulldozer justice, where houses are often demolished when a person is accused of a crime on the pretext of it being illegal, a bench of Justices B.R. Gawai and K.V. Vishwanathan had tough words for the states doing so and taking over the power of judiciary through arbitrary demolitions. State authorities have in the past said only illegal structures were demolished in such cases. But several petitions were filed before the court, flagging the extrajudicial nature of the action. The court took note of this and said that demolitions must never be used as a tool to penalize individuals without fair trial, or inversely, to intimidate the public. Adding that demolitions targeting specific structures while leaving similar properties nearby intact could suggest there was an ulterior motive behind the action, such as punishment without trial. On the separation of powers, the bench said adjudicatory functions are entrusted to the judiciary, and the executive cannot replace the judiciary. Quote, if the executive in arbitrary manner demolishes the houses of citizens only on ground that they are accused of a crime, then it acts contrary to the principles of rule of law. If the executive acts as a judge and inflicts penalty of demolition on a citizen on the ground that he is an accused, it violates the principle of separation of powers, unquote. The court said accountability must be fixed on public officials who take law into their own hands and act in a high-handed manner. Quote, state and its officials can't take arbitrary and excessive measures. If any officer of the state has abused his power or acted in total arbitrary or malafide manner, he cannot be spared, it added. The bench underlined that an individual, whether an accused or an under trial, or even a convict, has rights equal to that of any other citizen of this democracy. That they have a right to dignity and cannot be subjected to cruel or inhumane treatment. The punishment awarded to such persons has to be in accordance with the law. The punishment cannot be inhuman and cruel, the court said. To address these concerns, the Supreme Court has issued new guidelines. Under Article 142, the court mandated that no demolition should proceed first without showing a show cause notice to the targeted house. This notice must explain the alleged violation, allow the homeowner at least 15 days to respond, and provide time for an appeal. A final decision can only be made after hearing the homeowner's side. American forces have carried out strikes against targets linked to an Iranian-backed militia in Syria in response to a rocket attack on Washington's troop in the country, the U.S. military has said. According to AFP, the strikes targeted the group's weapons storage and logistics headquarters facility in response to a rocket attack on U.S. personnel. The U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, said in a post on social media that did not identify the militia by its name, though. The CENTCOM added that there was no damage to U.S. facilities and no injuries to U.S. or partner forces during this attack. Just a day before this, the U.S. forces bombed 9 targets associated with Iranian-backed groups in response to recent drone and rocket attacks, according to the Pentagon. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which is a monitoring group, said on Monday that these strikes had killed 4 members of loyal groups to Iran. The US military has around 900 troops in Syria and 2,500 in Iraq as a part of international coalition that was established in 2014 to help combat the Islamic State Jihadist group or ISIS. Since Israel and Gaza war intensified after the October 7th Hamas-led attack, and then Israel's retaliation has continued for over a year, pro-Iran groups have repeatedly targeted US forts in Iraq and Syria in response to US support for Israel as well as the weapon and other aids provided to Israel. The United States has responded to such Iran-backed groups. One of the most notable Iran-backed groups to have attacked US and other global entities is the Hezbollah, and back in Yemen, another Gaza-supporting group called the Houthis, which are deemed as terrorists by some of these countries, have carried out repeated attacks in the sea, which has damaged many vessels carrying either UK or US products and facilitate global trade. The Houthis have repeatedly said that they only target vessels that are either going to or are being run by US and UK in order to damage them economically as a payback for the war on Gazans. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.